talking quite a bit about the glory of the Lord, and it came in the form of some questions that I believe that are extremely important. In my mind, more important than anything else. Now, I know people have different views about what is the most important thing, and maybe they all kind of boil down to this anyway, but to me, it came in the form of something that needed to be very specific, and that was the glory of the Lord. And I wanted to do it in a way where we could all kind of get a hold of the idea of glory and what that meant. And I know in the past we've, you know, communicated this idea through several of the guys, but I wanted to continue it. I believe the Lord has really put this on my heart as a very, very important thing. And I think that as we go through this, you'll understand. And the very first time I taught it, I taught by simply asking, what does God want? Ultimately, the end of all things, what does God want? Now, we could say a lot of things. We did, as a matter of fact. I'm not going to reiterate those things, but I believe that what God wants ultimately is glory. Now, that seems pretty vague when you just say it just like that, but when you think about it in a sense that we can all get a hold of, like, what is glory? And we talked about that quite a bit. And what I want to do is I just want to continue to communicate a little bit further what that means. So first of all, the question was, what does God want? I believe that it was glory. And then ultimately, the expression of that glory was going to be through sons and daughters that would be expressions, if you will, of His glory. And that expression comes in many different forms, but the bottom line is that we would express the very glory of the Lord. So then in last week, I added to that, what does Jesus want? I believe that Jesus always wanted one thing. He wanted to glorify His Father. You can find it all through Scripture. It's not just in a few places, especially John chapter 17, where He repeats Himself over and over and over again concerning the glory of the Lord. And so that was really, really important to me to be able to communicate that. And all of this kind of goes along with the idea of what God wants and what that glory looks like. And we took a scripture, and I'll just remind you of the scripture again. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I won't give you the exact quote, but it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he wants something very special. He wants this glory to look like something really special. He wants it to look like gold and silver and precious stones. And what we do as Christians, or what I think we should be doing as Christians, is building. We should be in the process of building. I think the unfortunate part of that is that we build towards things that may give a little bit of glory to God, but the ultimate glory to God is glorified sons and daughters. That's the ultimate glory for God, as we can see from Romans chapter 8, that which He foreordained, that which He predestined, and at the end of that whole thing, that which He justified, He comes to the place where He says, that which He glorified. God is looking for glory, the glory of Himself, to be expressed through us. Now, I know that there's a lot going on in all of our lives. There are a lot of things happening in your life, a lot of things that you're dealing with, a lot of things that you're wrestling with. And sometimes when we take certain pieces of the gospel and we kind of hold them for a little while, but I don't think we keep them in the proper perspective. I think our theology isn't, you know, being implemented in our practical daily walk. It's not merging as much as it should be, hence the problems that we have so often. And so we walk in this place of diminished glory. Let's just put it that way. So the scripture that I really want to hone in on is one that we all know, Romans chapter 3, for we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And we all know that scripture, or have heard it at least. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that that says something to us and about us. It doesn't just speak about the fact that we in our lost condition have fallen short of the glory. It also speaks to a future tense, something that is going to happen to us along the way that every single one of us needs and needs to take a hold of on a regular basis. Because if we can really truly understand this and begin to see that this glory that God speaks of is something beyond compare. I mean, hopefully you can agree with that, that the things of God that are going to be imparted to you are beyond compare. They're beyond everything in your soul that you might hold on to, everything in your flesh, even the good things in your flesh, it's far beyond that. I recently just did a funeral, you know, last week, and I always come to that place, whenever I do a funeral, I always come to that place in the funeral where we're talking about that which is mortal becomes immortal. That which is perishable becomes imperishable. And so there's this transition that's taking place. There's something that's going to change in us. And I always like to put it like this. When you make your transition from earth to heaven, when you make your transition, your final transition into the kingdom of God, will it be this tremendously radical, wild, out-of-the-box change? Or will it be something where you go, I knew this. Not that it won't be exciting, don't get me wrong. Not that it won't be wonderful, don't get me wrong there. But why isn't the things of heaven so embedded in our hearts that when we get there, it won't be a huge surprise? It'll be normal to us. Because we'll be the people that say, I knew this was coming. I knew this was going to be great. I knew this was going to be the way it was. Because I knew the nature of my Father. I knew the nature of His Son. I knew the working of the Holy Spirit. And those things inside of me were telling me something over and over and over again about glory. About a glory that's coming. About a glory that is. Or we're going to hold on to the, you know, the wood, hay, and stubble of this earth, even the wood, hay, and stubble, I'll say it, even the wood, hay, and stubble that is in the church today. Do you know and do you believe, and I think you'll agree with me, that in the church at large, we have a lot of building that is built with wood, hay, and stubble. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's not going to have eternal value. I think we build with things that are perishable. We focus on things that are perishable. Our mindset is based upon those things which are perishable. We don't think eternally minded as much as we should because we get so focused. The moment we leave this building, a lot of times what many of us will do, and I'm just saying what we'll do a lot of times, is we won't focus on the fact that this is not my home. Hebrews chapter 11. Why did all these great men of God suffer so much for the sake of the kingdom of God if this was their home? And the scripture tells us that they knew this wasn't their home. I mean, and I'm telling you what, people who were boiled in oil, people that got their heads chopped off, people that were crucified, people that were burned at the stake, all kinds of people who have gone through history and they realized that this wasn't their home, that this wasn't their life, and that everything that we race towards and run to and work so hard for is really not much more than wood, hay, and stubble a lot of the times. Now, you can ask yourself the question. I don't have to tell you. You can just simply ask yourself. You can just say, how am I building in relationship to the kingdom of God? Because we know that Scripture tells us that there is a building that's taking place, and that building has a foundation, and that foundation is one foundation, and that foundation is Christ Jesus Himself. And every brick and every block that goes on top of that foundation has to be gold. It has to be silver. It has to be precious stones. It can't be anything else, because if it's anything else, then it's destined to perish. And the Scripture tells us, not Russ, but the Scripture tells us then that there will be those who do escape. You know why? Because they at least believe in one thing. They believe in the foundation. And it says that they escape with the flames, and I'm just going to use my own paraphrase, with the flames licking at their heels. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go into heaven that way. I don't want my life to be represented like that. So as we continue on and we look at this, I think the next and most important question that we could ask, we know what God wants. Amen? We know that God wants glory. We know what Jesus wants, and He wants glory too, and He wants glory. When He was on this earth as a man, He wanted the glory of His Father to be expanded and expressed and seen and known and heard among all men. And He didn't just simply want that glory to remain with Him. He wanted that glory to be passed on to other people. And He says, I don't pray for just my own guys, for my own disciples. I pray for everybody that hears these words of mine, that these people would be people that receive glory. The glory of the Lord, not just any kind of glory, not the glory of men, and not even the glory of things. And what we did is we brought into the picture, we said, well, what is glory and what does it look like? And we said things like, what is really glorious? The Grand Canyon is glorious. Stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon and look out and you're going to go, that is glorious. Stand on the peak of one of the highest mountains in the whole world, Mount Everest or whatever it is, and look out, and you will go. That's glorious. Look at the Rocky Mountains and look out. And you'll look and you'll see, drive up to right to the edge of the Rocky Mountains and look out and you'll see those white-capped mountains. You'll say, that is glorious. And in comparison, that's what God wants for us. And God says, we have fallen short of our Mount Everest. We have fallen short of our Grand Canyon experience. We have fallen short of Mount Everest, but that's what I want for you. I want you to have glory. And so we looked at those things and we said, this is something that the church needs. As much as breath itself, the church needs this. It needs to be the very expression of that glory. And like I said before, a lot of times what happens to us is we sort of wander out back into the world and into our lives. And a lot of times we don't take a hold of it. So finally, you come to the question, what does God want? We know. What does Jesus want? We know. What does the Holy Spirit want? He is the imparter, by the way. The Holy Spirit is the imparter of the glory of God. He is that which will impart in your very being the glory of God, the glory of the risen Christ, the very power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The Bible says in chapter 1, says that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives where? In me. And it's like, we need to take it. The next thing is, what do you want? And there's the breakdown right there. We want a lot of things. We may even want glory. The problem is, unlike God, unlike Jesus, and unlike the Holy Spirit, we waffle. Amen? And to say, what do I want, is infinitely poorer than what God wants. Infinitely shorter than what God has in mind. Infinitely shorter than what Jesus represented. But you know what he's calling us to? He's not calling human beings so much to want a thing as much as he is to will a thing. To will it to be. I like the King James in many different instances, and I love where the King James speaks to the idea of Jesus coming to the blind man. Jesus says to the blind man, what do you willeth? I like it better than all the other translations because it's not just simply wanting for something. What do you will to be? Do you will to have glory? Do you say within yourself, I will not settle for anything less than glory? I won't settle for anything less than a Grand Canyon experience with God. How about that? When I stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon and I look out, and I've never been there, I've only seen pictures of it. But even the pictures are amazing, absolutely amazing. And it pales in comparison to your God. Pales, infinitely pales. We are finite beings, but God gave us one thing that we could do. We could will things to be. And for some of us, we have to will some little things before we get to the big things, okay? Will some little things that you say that I will to do this thing. Let me tell you another story from Scripture. It's in three of the Gospels, and it's about the rich young ruler. And he comes to Jesus, and he says, Lord, what must I do to inherit life, eternal life? What must I do? And Jesus basically says, follow the commands of God. He says, oh, these things, and he mentions those things, and he says, these things I have done from my youth. These things I have done from my youth. And Jesus, of course, would say, good, well done. Now, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And do we all know the story? What did he do? He went away sad because his possessions possessed him. He didn't possess them. He willed to be a rich man on earth rather than having the glory of heaven. That's what he did. I like the blind man because the blind man said, okay, this is what I want. Yes, I do. I will this to happen. If you will it, I want it. Let's get it. Let's do it. No reluctance, no iffy, no maybe. Yes, that's what I want. I've seen blind people with no corneas, nothing, just a white socket I've seen that don't have faith for their own healing. They've come to the foundry. They've been there, and people have prayed over and prayed over and prayed over and prayed over, and they didn't receive it. I don't know that they believed it within themselves that it could possibly happen, that their God had enough power and glory to do a thing like that. You know, this Grand Canyon experience that I'm talking about, this glory that I'm talking about, is something we have to rise up to. You have to rise up to it. You're down here, and you got to get up here. Amen? You're down here, and you got to get up here. And you've been down here a long time. And a lot of you, including myself, you're deluded into believing that down here is glorious when it's not glorious, because up here is glory. And you might think that down here is glory because you know things and you know scriptures and you know stuff and you do things for God, you do things for the sake of the kingdom, but you're still down here. And the glory that God's talking about is a Grand Canyon experience. I can't say it any better than that. Your Mount Everest experience. Are you experiencing the glory of God like, I wish we could all just drive over to the Grand Canyon right now, stand on the edge, and look out at it, and go, that's what I want for my faith, for my life, for my working in the kingdom of God. That's what I want. And I don't want anything less than that. We got to be a people that rise up and say, we're going this way, because this is where the glory is. God will not stop. He will not relent. He will come and come and come because he only can have one thing. Do you think he can always have, you think God can have less than God? Do you think God can have less holiness? He can't. God cannot have less holiness. He's going to have the same level of holiness, the same level of glory, the same level of power, the same level of knowing. And what he's wanting to do is have the church come up to that same place. And you know what? I'm not going to say exactly what that looks like. All I'm going to do is say it's your Grand Canyon experience. It's going to be yours where you say, I'm standing on the edge of the greatest thing that I've ever seen in my life. And I'm right there with God, and God's right there with me, and we're going together. And we see in Scripture, we are not 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are not, let's get it in our heads, we are not like Moses who came before a mountain trembling. The people were trembling in fear. We are not like those people. Don't put me in the Old Testament with a bunch of people that are going to a mountain with fear, and Moses has to put a veil on his face to keep the glory of God from passing through because the people were in such fear of the glory of God. We are not those people. We are a different kind of people because the very life and the very seed and the very heart of God is right in here. And there isn't a better way to say it. You have been given the very essence of the uncreated life of God. It's here. And there's an unction that will come and come and come and come and come. I don't know how it works. I just know it does. Even for people who had the Spirit of the living God in them, there was outpouring after outpouring after outpouring after outpouring that kept coming and coming upon them. Ephesians tells us that we need, as my wife said this morning in prayer, we need to be being filled. Who shut the door? We're here, and we got to get to here. Now, I don't know about you, but my Bible says that we all, I like that part, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but we all are being transformed from glory to glory. I don't know about you, but my Bible says I'm being transformed from glory to glory. It's, okay, who the heck wants to stay in the old one if there's another one coming, and another one, and another one, and another one, and it's bigger, and it's broader? I think we're a little bit crazy because we think, oh, this feels pretty good. I think I'll set up camp here. We get out of the river. We go off to the side. We build a nice little camp on the side of the river. What in the world are we thinking? How many of you have seen The Bridge on the River Kwai? Let me hear, see all the old people's hands. Yep. It's a great movie about people who were in captivity and who were totally just beat to nothing by the Japanese army during World War II. And they were just beat down and beat down and beat down. The Japanese wanted to use them as slave labor to build bridges. And the Americans and whoever was there at the time, whoever was captive at that time, just left it off. The Japanese couldn't get a bridge built at all. Then a British commander comes in, and the British commander comes in, and what he does is he comes to this place where he says, I know a way to peak morale. And as the story starts to unfold, you see these guys who know that the one thing that they to do more than anything else that they've been commissioned to do is to escape. Never aid or abet the enemy. Don't do that. Always try to escape. Always try to get out. But he comes along and he's more concerned about the morale of the people, and he goes to the people and he says, I think we can change this. I think we can turn all this around. And the guy just sacrifices his life. They throw him in the hot box. You know what that is in the prison thing, in the camps. Throw him in the hot box, and he's there and he's there and he's suffering. And it's like, oh, okay, he won. So finally he gets out. And what does he do? He gets the morale of all the people up and up and up, and they build the most fantastic bridge over the River Kwai for the enemy. The morale is great. The people that are there in captivity are being fed better, and it's nicer, and it's cleaner, and everything is great. They're having little parties because it's all so great. And we're building a bridge for the enemy. I got to tell you, I think we're building bridges for the enemy in the church. And we're doing it all down here. All we have is a foundation, and we're just building a whole bunch of wood, hay, and stubble, wood, hay, and stubble, wood, hay, and stubble, wood, hay, and stubble. And the Lord's going, what are you doing? Is that divine? Maybe we should just ask a simple question. Is what you're building with divine? Maybe we should just ask the question, are you building? Are you building anything? Because we won't build anything until we will something to happen. You just won't do it. And you know what? You will things to happen all day long, every day of your life, every one of you. Every single person wills to do something in life. You can't stay down here. I said it 10 times. You can't stay down here. Because this glory is not going to do anything. This glory that's here is what you came in with. All that does is just get you a pass. But what about the rest of life? What if you come in at 7 or 8 or 9 years old? What if you come in then? Oh, yeah, I got the way in, but I live like hell. My life is in pain. I have sorrow. I have brokenness. Every day I go out, I come in. I go out, I come in. And I have all of the same attributes I had when I came into the kingdom, other than the fact that I will be saved. Praise God for the fact that I'm saved. Thank God for the fact that I'm saved. But what about the rest of my life? And every time I talk to Christians, most of the time, I'm not seeing glory. You know what I'm seeing? I won't even say, you tell me what you see when you see Christians out there. Do you see people up here? And if you do, it's a pretty rare bunch, isn't it? Because we're all down here. We're all down here. And even when we're doing all the religious stuff, we're still down here doing it. Because we're doing it, you could still build, you know, we could build an entire church out of wood, hay, and stubble. We could do it. I'm serious. We could do it. We could build a church with everything perishable and make that the centerpiece of everything that we are. To what end? The question you have to ask, will what you do last forever? Will what you do last forever? What are you doing? If what you're doing now isn't lasting forever, then what are you doing? I want to tell you something, and then I'm going to quit. And this is awesome. In the past, month or so, let's just put it that way. And that's not to say that's not the only time I've ever seen it. But I have been the recipient of glory. Do you know that you could be the recipient of glory that comes from somebody else that has glory? That is the coolest thing in the whole wide world. And you know when I see it? You know when it happens? And as a pastor, you get to see it a lot. But you know what? It wasn't until recently that I realized that's gold. That's gold. That's silver. That's precious stones. Not only can I receive it, I could give it. And I realized the simplest thing in the whole world was right in front of my face, and I couldn't see it until it came to me from somebody else. It came to me from very special people who were walking in glory. And you're thinking it's some grand thing. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. And I get to see it. I get to hear it. You know why? Because I'm going to stand up here. And I know it's just an illustration, but the point is I can't see it down here. I can't see it when I'm living in all the angst and anxiety of life. I can't see it here. I can't see it when I'm thinking about nothing but my problems. I can't see it when I'm hurt by somebody. I can't see it when I'm holding on to things. I can't see it. But I got to see it as the most magnificent thing in the world. And it came in the form of grace from you. And sometimes it wasn't directed right at me, but it was somebody who was saying that they were going to apply it to somebody else here. And they did it. They did it. And as soon as they did it, as soon as they gave grace, as soon as they forgave, as soon as they walked that golden walk, it happened. And it happens, and it happens, and it happens over and over and over again. I know you've been wronged. You want gold? Forgive the people who have done you wrong. And receive it for yourself. And look at them and say, that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Because we're not holding on to junk. Do you know how much freedom, and not just freedom, but do you know how much glory there is in the simple words of, I forgive you. I'm sorry. I didn't want to bring harm to you. I didn't want to hurt you. I didn't want to hurt the body. Do you know how much glory there is just looking at somebody and telling them you love them? See, we look at the extreme miraculous end of it, where really the heart of it is in forgiveness. It is in love. It is in mercy. Remember what I told you about mercy? It's not getting what you deserve. You deserve punishment. The greatest form of love to me is mercy. That's the love that was on the cross. Everybody deserves to die because all have sinned. But everybody got mercy. Everybody got grace. Everybody got forgiveness. And God's painting a picture. And the picture is, here's glory. Just tell somebody you're sorry. Even if you're not in the wrong. Even if you're not in the wrong. And you might think, well, that's wacky, Pastor Russ. You want some freedom? It'll be in that. It'll be in that. I don't know how much you can sense gold, but I felt golden when it happened to me. I felt golden. I don't know if you know this, but it is hard being a pastor. My wife laughs. And not because of you. It's hard because of me. It's hard because of me. Because I walk too much here and not enough here. And I complain too much. And I think too hard about things when I should just simply take a hold of that which is gold and say, Lord, I will to have glory. You can do it. You can say it. And then you can walk in it. I will to have glory.